make sure you check out the Sports Call podcast brought to you by our friends over at Pepsi. If you ever miss Sports Call Live, or if you want to hear something again, make sure you go back and listen to our show on demand wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy an ice cold Pepsi along with the hottest sports talk. Pepsi, that's what I like. J.J. Jackson, Brooks Childress, Ryan LaVoy, Trevon Reed inside our studios, having fun recapping Auburn's win against Ole Miss and talking about other things going on in the sports world. As we do every single Tuesday at about this time, we go now to our Auburn Bank phone line. The one, the only, Justin Ferguson, ladies and gentlemen of the Auburn Observer, now joins us on today's program. Greetings, Jay Ferg. How are you?
I'm doing well. I hope you brought more fun questions this week.
Dude, listen, we've got plenty of fun questions. I want to get to the film room in just a good bit. We've had an excellent defensive discussion with Trevon Reed on the show, and he'll join us in just a moment for that. But this is where I want to start, Ferg. Talk to me about the logo for the Auburn Observer.
All right. So this is really off the rails. But the logo that I came up with, I don't know. I just like the round logo, the circle kind of font. You know, you've seen a lot of those with sports teams nowadays. And, yeah, if you guys have seen it, the brain is in the middle. It's just a little, like, top view of a clip art photo of a brain. And kind of the central thing I wanted to do, there's a couple of inside jokes in there that are tied to it that I won't get into on the air
because right.
It would put everybody to tears probably. But, my whole thing whenever I try to write is I want Auburn fans, whenever they get done writing something, to feel like they've learned something, to feel like they've gotten smarter about their favorite teams because they care about them so passionately and they want to, you know, be more knowledgeable about what they're seeing on the field or on the court. So that was kind of the goal going in. And I got a close friend of mine to help me out fixing it up, and I think she did a really good job with it. And yeah. So that's kind of the backstory on that one.
I love it. It's awesome. And I'd never asked you that before. And I figured, hey, let's start off there a little bit fun. I'll have way more fun questions for you a little bit later. But let's get to football because, man, I got to tell you, Ferg, for all our listeners out there, I have joined the Auburn Observer community. And I'm glad that I went all the way in, put all the chips on the table. Again, it's $6 a month, $60 a year for excellent coverage from Justin Ferguson and Painter Sharpless. The film room piece that you had over the weekend, Ferg, on Monday about Auburn's defensive performance was brilliant, breaking down the numbers for Auburn's defensive game plan against Ole Miss. Tell us a little bit more about what's in that film room and what you found.
Yeah, I mean, I got the initial reaction after the game, you know, looking through the box score and thinking in my head, I was like, wow, I mean, Auburn did such a good job of limiting Ole Miss from doing what they want to do best, which is hit explosive plays through the air. Let Matt Corral turn it loose. You saw what he did with that against Alabama. We saw what he did against Florida in that aspect, times against Kentucky as well. And then, you know, against Arkansas, he just threw six interceptions, but they still moved the ball on those drives when he wasn't throwing a ton of picks. So it was one of those things where, you know, the box score told me, like, man, they did something, you know, to really limit that. Elijah Moore barely had any catches. He had, like, 11 yards on the game. Those were problem areas. Like, a couple weeks ago, people were terrified of this matchup who are Auburn fans, saying, like, oh, Ole Miss is going to shred Auburn through the air. And lo and behold, Auburn's defense plays extremely well against the pass, and it goes a long way into, you know, helping them get the win. So with the thing with the film room, when I went back and watched it over, what I noticed is that Auburn sacrificed some of their run defense, playing three down front, playing two guys, at, you know, one or two guys at linebacker, and putting six, seven defensive backs back there and covering with guys like Owen Poffo and Zacoby McClain in certain aspects, and just saying, you know what, look, if you want to run the ball, because that's going to work the clock. You know, as long as we don't give up the really, really big play on the ground, what we're going to do is we're going to make you work the clock. We're going to get you out of your rhythm. We're going to keep everything in front of us on defense. And then if you get Matt Corral into some pressure situation, he can make mistakes. Auburn gets two picks. And that was the big difference in that game. You know, you just got to get stops. And I think this Auburn defense, you know, their pass rush is not what it needs to be. It's been struggling this season. But I think them committing so much to the secondary is saying, hey, we're going to keep everything in front of us, and we're going to work the clock, and we're going to play our kind of style of football. We're going to help our offense and help out some of our guys on the defensive front by doing this. I thought it was an excellent game plan from Kevin Steele, and I thought it was executed really, really well. like I said, it kept Ole Miss from doing what they wanted to do. One of the best big play offenses in the country through the air just could not get the one big one outside of that busted coverage on the wheel route to Kenny Yeboah. That was it. That was pretty much it for the game. So I thought they did exactly what they needed to do to get out of Ole Miss with a win.
Sticking with the defense and with Kevin Steele, maybe Kevin Steele, some of his best work at Auburn was last season in this game coming up this weekend against LSU last season. This is a completely different LSU team, but it's an offense that exploded last week, a team that exploded last weekend against a team that Auburn obviously lost to the week prior. With T.J. Finley playing well, with the way LSU looked, how do you go about defending a team that has changed quarterbacks here due to injury, but is also starting to hit a groove here with running the football and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think you gotta kind of got to do some of the similar things you did against Ole Miss last week. The big thing for LSU is they got some running backs. John Emery's really good. They're able to move the ball on the ground. They're explosive, but like again, you don't want to give up a big play to these guys because LSU can turn it loose. Terrence Marshall has been an awesome receiver this year for LSU. Even though they lose the Biletnikoff winner, they're still moving the ball through the air pretty well because Marshall's so good. And I feel like that's kind of a step up version of what we saw, you know, Auburn trying to guard Elijah Moore last week. I think if you do some of those similar things, commit to preventing the big play. And the one thing about Auburn's run defense in that game is that, yeah, they played like lighter boxes and weren't able to, you know, necessarily commit a ton of guys up front. Even still, there were a lot of missed tackles, missed alignments, you know, plays that were just came out of the reach of Auburn in the running game that if they cut down on those mistakes, it's an even better game in terms of run defense. So I think if you're Auburn, if you can commit once again to say, hey, let's prevent the big play, let's not give up anything too deep, and force a freshman quarterback to make mistakes when things get tighter, kind of that bend don't break style, I think it's a really good spot. And what you have to do there is that your defensive line and your linebackers just this week do a better job of finishing those plays that you missed out on against Ole Miss. If you can put that together, you know, Ole Miss is probably still going to put some points on the board because they're a good offense, but it's a good way to limit them and you know, build off of what you did last week in Oxford.
Ferg, give us a little bit more on pressuring the quarterback. This is something that Trevon's been pointing out all show long, and obviously you highlighted this in the film room as well. It's a little different when you don't have Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson going after the quarterback every single snap. What have you thought about Auburn's quarterback pressuring so far this season?
Yeah, I think you're just seeing Auburn having to, you know, really commit to, kind of hanging back and trying to blitz and be very, very selective with when they blitz in terms of generating pass rush because, yeah, Derrick Brown creates so much. Think about those guys that have, you know, been really good pass rushers for Auburn the last three years. I think the big thing for them is that they had Derrick Brown taking up double teams, you know, getting some opportunities. Auburn right now is, you know, they rush four and they're not getting quite as much pressure up front because they don't have Derrick Brown. They don't have Marlon Davidson. You know, a guy like Big Cat Bryant, an experienced pass rusher, but he's dealt with injury this year. So, you know, he's not at full speed quite yet. He's not in that midseason form that you'd probably expect him to be. Colby Wooden's playing super well right now for Auburn. He leads the league in tackles for loss. I think he's a real weapon, but he's not that instant, like super strong, speedy pass rusher off the edge yet. And Auburn just doesn't really have one of those right now. So what they're having to do is they're going to have to get creative a little bit more. They're going to have to, you know, blitz some linebackers, send blitz some safeties every now, blitz a corner. I mean, Jalen Simpson almost had Corral dead to rights in the backfield, on one of those drives on Saturday, and yeah, it would have been a big play there. So I think you just got to be selective. You got to get creative because right now you just don't have that go-to pass rusher quite yet, and I think you're seeing the effects of, you know, just how good both Marlon Davidson and especially Derrick Brown were for your pass rush, even when they weren't the guys that asked the last few seasons.
It's Justin Ferguson, the Auburn Observer, joining us on this Wednesday edition, or Tuesday, I'm getting ahead of myself, Tuesday edition of Sports Call here on Tiger 95.9 FM. We're recapping Auburn's win against Ole Miss. And Ferg, what was that? Colby Wooden leads the SEC in tackles for loss?
I believe so. That
How
was
about
a stat
that?
I heard. That was a stat I heard. And the man, the dude is so disruptive. So disruptive. He is he's one of those guys that I think the big thing about him is that he's got an incredible motor. You know, every time you talk to anybody about him, they talk about, you know, how effective he is at pretty much whatever you ask him to do, he's going to do it well. He's going to do it with great drive and intensity. He reminds a lot of people what Marlon was early on in his career. So he's being super disruptive and, like, yeah, when offenses make mistakes and, you know, don't put their best blocking in front of them, he can tear up plays in the backfield like he did Saturday against Ole Miss.
Trevon, what you think about 25 and Colby Wooden?
I think he's a baller. I think we as a fan base don't tell him how good he is enough. Real talk, because I say that because you got to think about it. Marlon came along once everybody started talking about Derrick Brown too much. Like, Marlon was like, wait, I'm here too. Like, now we're going to compete. So Marlon used to, you know, I used to be in the hot, like, I used to work out with him.
Right.
So Marlon used to tell Derrick, hey, we could bet whatever that I'm going to have more sacks than you this week. And they was so serious. Like, people on the outside never knew, but it was real competition between them two because Marlon felt like y'all was talking about Derrick too much.
Yeah.
So now, once we start putting their name in the same category, Marlon start getting strip sack fumbles. All type of stuff started coming. Why? Because his confidence went through the roof. He started saying, you know what? I am a pass rusher. I'm not just a run guy. Derrick going to have to see me. And he was competing against his teammate. He was competing against the Auburn fan. He wanted his name to be louder than Derrick. We need to start telling 25 he's that dude because he's that dude. He stand out every game. And if you're doing a reverse, you better do it the opposite way of 25 because he going to get back there. He shoots straight up the field every time. Watch the film. Like, if you game planning against 25, you'll just run the ball his way because he's shooting straight up the field. But if you think you're going to run any type of reverse, any sweeps, it ain't going to happen. And we need to let that guy know he's that guy. He's that guy.
Ferg, anything you want to add?
No, I completely agree with Trevon, obviously. He's got so much of that motor, that explosive first step. I mean, people need to remember, this is a dude who probably would have played some last season for Auburn if he didn't get mono last summer and lost a lot of weight. Like, he was really behind the eight ball for a while. So this whole offseason, you know, Kevin Steele was raving about how good this dude looked. In the offseason, he's torn it up. And I also got to remember, you know, Colby Wooden wasn't a five-star coming out of high school, but Auburn beat out Clemson for him. And if Clemson wants a defensive lineman, you know he's probably going to be really, really good. So I think he's proven that early.
No doubt about that. Justin Ferguson, the Auburn Observer, joining us here on the program. All right, Ferg, we know that T. Reed's the Louisiana native, the number one player in that state that bails on LSU to go to the Auburn Tigers. So give us a little bit more on what Auburn's offense can do against Trevon's home state.
Yeah, the thing about LSU's defense this season is you got to talk about how terrifying their own pass rush is. They've got four dudes who are among the top 15 in the SEC in terms of pressures this season. They get to the quarterback, and that's pretty much all they can do on defense right now is get to the quarterback, because against the run, they've given up a ton of yards, well over, it's like nearly 6 yards a carry the last two games they've played. South Carolina and Missouri have put that up on them. We know Auburn's been able to run the ball really well. You know, the last few weeks, Tank Bigsby's on fire. You've got Sean Shivers back. DJ Williams, if you can get him healthy, he's such a weapon for him as well. So I think you got to run the ball and let Bo Nix get comfortable off of that. And also, those quick passes are going to have to be key. We saw in the Ole Miss game, they started off quick, fast, shorter passes, and then stretched the field later on in the game, got Nix in rhythm, got him more comfortable. You could tell he was locked in. Do that against LSU, because that LSU pass rush is not going to give you a lot of time to throw the ball downfield, especially early in the game. And, you know, LSU's pass defense, if they're not sacking the quarterback, they're giving up big plays. Over the last couple of games, they've given up over 10. It's like, I believe it's, yeah, over 11 yards an attempt against Missouri and South Carolina. So if they're not sacking the quarterback and the quarterback's able to complete those passes against that secondary, they can go for big plays. So the Auburn's got to build on that running game and then, you know, try to hit those quick plays and let dudes like Seth Williams and Anthony Schwartz and Eli Stove make plays after the catch.
Ferg, when you look at this LSU team coming in, what did you make of, on Saturday, the debut of JT Finley? And if Auburn is able to see him, what do they need to do to shut him down?
Yeah, I think the big thing with JT Finley is that he just looked very comfortable in this offense. You know, they're not asking him to really do a ton in terms of, like, come in and take over the game. The thing with LSU is I know they haven't gone off to a great start this season. I know they've got their issues, but it's LSU. They're going to have a lot of talent around them. So they didn't really ask him to throw really deep downfield. nobody completed a lot of easy passes and just said, hey, I've got Terrence Marshall. I got guys like John Emery. I'm just going to give him the ball in hand, do my job, and do a really good, you know, really good job of that. And I think that's got to be the key for Auburn in this one, is that you've got to have a good plan for slowing down their key players, try to get him out of rhythm of that. I know he likes to feed Marshall, because everybody does, as good as Marshall's been this season. Got to slow down, you know, get a little bit better in the run defense to slow down guys like John Emery. But the big thing there with them is that it's a freshman quarterback making probably his first start away from home. I know it's not a sellout, you know, crowd by any means, but you got to get him uncomfortable. You got to find ways to make him uncomfortable, because South Carolina made life really easy on him. All he had to do was kind of pitch and catch with some of his really good talent. So I think it'll be a big game for the secondary, especially to try to slow down those guys like they did against Ole Miss last week.
It's Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. He joins us each and every week on Auburn's first, Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at JFergusonAU. Let's have some fun, Ferg. During the Ole Miss game, you tweeted out Ole Miss, and it was a picture of the NCAA 14, I believe, of the controls there. How much do you miss NCAA 14? And give me a story of how deep a dynasty mode, a coaching carousel, or just something that you continued out forever.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I love NCAA 14. I was one of those guys during when I got laid off. I modded out my my old PS3 to try to get, like, some, like, new uniforms and logos and stuff like that on there with some guys that have been doing it. It gets real deep in there. But, yeah, I really miss it. I hope this name, image, and likeness thing will help them get the game sometime in the next couple of years. I think the most, the dynasty mode I think I've probably enjoyed the most is what I would do is I would start off always as a coordinator at a one-star school, and my goal would be if I had to end as the head coach of a six-star school and I had to win consecutive national championships. And so I did one time where I started off as the offensive coordinator. I believe I was at Texas State, and I finished, my tenure winning three straight national titles at LSU, and that was a whole lot of fun. So, I put way too much time in that game over the years. I think I had, when I was a kid and up until, you know, really stopped making the game, I think we owned every NCAA game from 2000 all the way to 14. So we owned 15 straight of them. So
awesome.
it was the game I played more than any other one.
What were you thinking when DK Metcalf tracked down Buda Baker?
I mean, dude looks like an alien, right? Like there's no reason a guy that big should move that fast. It's just that does not make any sense. And so when he took it, I'd been doing film room, and I turned on the game just like right before Russ threw that pick. And so it was like the first play I really had seen all game. And as soon as he throws it, I see DK out on the corner of the screen. I'm like, oh, he's going to catch him. And sure enough, I know people are like, whoa, that's crazy. But, like, I've been watching a ton of Seahawks games recently, and it's just like that dude just does things that don't make any sense. So I wasn't stunned when it happened, but it was just confirmation that from what I've seen all season from him is that he's a freak. And, if you play defensive back, what you do for a guy like that, or any defensive player, really.
Trevon, your reaction when DK Metcalf hawked down Buda Baker?
It was a Julio Jones moment.
Yeah.
He different, bro. DK is different. He not normal. Like, real talk. Like, JJ, real talk. Let's think about this, right? Think back. They had DK Metcalf, Van Jefferson, who played for the Rams.
Uh-huh.
And A.J. Brown.
Right.
You could have been the quarterback, J.J.
Just throwing it to one of those guys.
What?
Yeah.
Who would their quarterback, Shea Patterson?
Yeah.
He tripped. I'd have been a first-round pick, bro. Do you see who you got at receiver?
Yes.
Like, don't get me wrong. Waddle, Smith, and Eight, they good. Terrence Marshall last year, Jefferson, and Chase, they good. But D.K., Van Jefferson, and A.J. Brown?
Yeah.
They them guys, but they all taller and bigger and probably faster.
Right.
Oh, my God. I'd have been a first-round pick at quarterback.
And, Ferg, it is important to point out in that game on Sunday, Tyler Lockett goes off for 200 receiving yards. Your guy. But let's not forget what happens in 2014 when Auburn takes this wide receiver named Trevon Reed and says, we're going to turn him into an NFL cornerback. And Lockett got to know him quite well, and then they later become teammates and that stuff. So, love story time. A lot of fun with Ferg. Justin, tell us what to expect this week from you and Painter at AuburnObserver.com.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. So, got a story up today, a little Auburn basketball story on Sharif Cooper. Everybody wants to talk about Sharif Cooper right now. So you can check that out at AuburnObserver.com. Film room, like we were talking about earlier, that came up on Monday. Tomorrow I'm going to do a story on Auburn's offensive line, kind of some of the things we were talking about, how do you prepare for LSU's defense. Got some more stuff coming out later in the week, the mailbag on Friday. Got a premium podcast on Thursday. We'll have post-game observations from the LSU game on Sunday morning. We'll have a recap podcast on Sunday as well. Got all that at AuburnObserver.com. Like JJ said, $6 a month, $60 a year. We'll get you access to all of that. And it'll come straight into your email inbox. You don't have to wait for somebody to get a tweet out or, you know, go check the website. We put it right all in your inbox so you can read it whenever on your time from wherever you read your email.
And I would encourage folks to check out that podcast, available wherever you get them on any podcast platform. I love the podcast. I got a shout out in the recap podcast. I mean, I was thrilled. I said, wait a minute, was that my name? So I appreciate the love. I appreciate you always taking time to join our show, Ferg, and we'll talk again next week, okay?
Absolutely. This was a lot more fun today, JJ. I'm proud of you.
I'm improving.
Yes. We're improving every week. That's all you need.
That's all we need. And Trevon will be back with us again next week as well, so we'll have some fun, all right?
Thank you. Yes, sir.